Good morning. Welcome to everyone. This morning, we are going to look at a text in which Jesus gives his disciples some pretty pointed advice, and also some advice that is very difficult to follow. Instructions that we need to understand and we need to at least pay attention to. Because Jesus talks about forgiveness. The other thing that is addressed is faith. And how God, through faith, has given us strength. And we will find out in the end that God welcomes us because of faith. And it is because of this faith that he gives to all people through his Son, Jesus Christ, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 10. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses again against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go, sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, until I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Amen. Please be seated. Now, it's interesting because our text in chapter 17 starts out with talking about temptations and sin are sure to come, but woe unto the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. It's interesting where this is text and how they broke this up. Because, of course, sometimes we don't want to talk about this whole deal that if we are the cause, we are the ones in trouble. But that's exactly where our text picks up on. He says, now, pay attention to yourselves. Now, this is Jesus. Now, most of the time, you don't get this from Jesus. But he is talking, you, now, look at yourself. Understand. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. When we see our brothers and our sisters caught up in sin, we are to approach them. Not out of condemnation. Not out of some being superior to them. But out of love. That we would tell them of their fault. Tell them of their sin. So that they would have opportunity to repent. To change their mind. To change their way. Now, it's interesting here because that part in some ways, well, I can do that. I can point that out. Now, with the attitude I talked about, that's a little more difficult. But then the other part becomes more difficult. If he repents, forgive him. Yeah. One time, no problem. I can forgive somebody if they mess up one time, or even if they sin against me one time. But Jesus goes on from there. If he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now this is just in the day. So if 7 times someone does something to you wrong, and really this is the only time I can think about something like this, is back when I was a child. And some of you who may know my sister, she's a very nice young lady, but she was a brat. And I don't mind saying it, because I've told her that. Now, I love my sister to death. And she's as hard-working, wonderful Christian woman as you'd ever want to be. But she used to know how to push my buttons. And she was really good at it. But according to this, I should have, at that point, pointed out what she had done wrong and then forgiven her 7 times. Now, I know myself. After the 2nd time, more than likely she was going to be crying. Because we as human beings, unfortunately, aren't always that forgiving. And in fact, what we like to do is we like to say, yes, you're forgiven, and then keep bringing these things back up over and over and over again. We like to make sure that we haul out all that dirty laundry when we get in a fight with someone again. Well, I remember when you did this. We don't forgive to the point that it's sacrificial and we really understand and we will forgive over and over and over again. Now, I do understand forgiveness also over and over and over again. And anyone who has children understands it. Because your children will mess up over and over and over again. And each and every time you love them and you forgive them. And that's really the forgiveness that is given, or the forgiveness that God gives us. It doesn't matter how many times we have messed up. God loves us like a good father and will love us despite those times that we messed up. Now the apostles know this, and so you get this next line. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Our faith. They understand. I can't do this. He's talking about having me forgive all the time. To make sure that no matter what happens, I'm going to be loving and forgiving. And so, well, I must need more faith. And Jesus goes on to kind of destroy that notion. He says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Well, what's that got to do with anything? What he's really saying is faith is not something that's a measured quantity, it's attitude. When you have faith, your countenance, your life changes. Because you now are invaded with the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit lives through you. You are now a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we don't like that whole servant word. And actually that word is much stronger within this coming out of the Greek, because that word would be slave. which means we are bought and owned and constrained to do what we are called to do through Jesus Christ. Now, because of the sins of our nation way back, we don't like to use that word. But that's really the proper context to this, that we are slaves to God. And that's what he starts to talk about in verse 7. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him, when he has come from the field, come in at once, recline at the table? So now we have our servant, our slave, someone who is compelled to do our bidding. They come in from the field. They've been working hard all day long. How many of us are going, well, come on in. Recline at the table and I'll feed you. That's not the way it works. And that's what really Jesus is doing. He is putting the disciples and us as followers of Jesus Christ in this same place. And a lot of times we don't like it. Now all of a sudden, I'm a servant. That's really all I am. And Jesus goes on to bring out in this analogy, will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink. You see, that's really how we ought to look at ourselves. We think of ourselves much more highly than we ought. We are servants that God is working through. And that's really what Paul talks about in our scripture reading today. He tells us that I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. You see, we have all been called to a calling, to a holy calling. As a believer, each and every one of us has a place in the kingdom and has a job to do. It's different for each and every one of us, but it's the same. It's to serve Jesus Christ, to serve God through what we do. And we shouldn't look for any huge, wonderful reward on this side. Paul, someone who gave up everything in his life, was not given great reward. And in fact, even in our text, he talks about his sufferings. He went to jail. He was beaten. He was ridiculed. He was rejected by those who loved him before. And he too was finally put to death. And in the end, Paul would understand that it wasn't him. It was the Spirit that guarded what he wanted, what the Spirit of God who guarded him and led him and continued to do the work through him. And we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid that we are going to suffer and that we're going to have tough times. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And to me, this fits in so well that we would have love for our brother who sins against us, that we would be able to forgive. That we would have self-control to continue to do the things that we are called to do day in, day out, no matter what. And even though it's not so fun all the time, Jesus doesn't talk about having a wonderful time about this servant that's out in the field. He's out sweating. If you understand how they did plowing back then, it was usually behind some animal, and you had to manhandle that plow. This was not easy work. It wasn't go out, start the tractor, hook up the plow, and drive around. Not that farmers don't do hard work. Don't get me wrong. I'll get myself in trouble real fast. But it certainly was much harder back then when everything was manual. And that's what he's talking about. So this servant, when he comes in, he's tired, he's beat. And the master says, no, you must continue to serve. Now get my dinner ready. And for heaven's sakes, change your clothes. And then serve me. And then when you're done with that, you can go ahead and eat. Now most of us today would think, well, we deserve a lot of credit and a lot of thanks for all that. And this is where Jesus says, uh-uh. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? No. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And this is the thing that we need to get straight. When we serve God, and we do the things that we are called to do, we are still just unworthy servants. We are just doing what God has called us to do, empowered us to do, and is working through us to do. Now that does not mean that we don't thank each other. And we don't encourage each other to go on and do what we are called to do. And so when we see someone serving within the body, that we don't thank them, that we don't encourage them to continue to do those good things and to do those works. But understand that even if we don't get thanked, it's no big deal. Because we are just servants. Serving our Lord and Savior and serving our God. Doing those things that He's put in front of us to do. We live in a society where we want all the praise. We want the attention. But Jesus Christ in many places seems to indicate that we're not supposed to make our works and our duties show before men. When you give alms to the poor, don't do it as the hypocrites do, shouting on the street corner. But don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, go into your closet and pray in secret, and your Father will hear you. You see, the problem is we have bought into man's idea that we need all the attention and everybody should notice what we do so we can look good. When we serve, let us serve as humble servants to our Lord Jesus Christ, doing what He has empowered us to do and what He has guarded us to do all of our lives. You see, it is Him, by the power of His Spirit working in us, that enables us to do anything good. And in the end, we are unworthy servants. But what a great reward we get at the end. This is what Jesus is talking about with His disciples. Our little bit of faith makes us holy and righteous in His eyes and calls us to a place of servanthood, of leading lives that serve God and the body of Jesus Christ for His glory and honor and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks that You have called us. And that, Father, You promise us at the end that You will take care of us, even despite the sufferings and the hard work that we have to do here. We ask, Father, that You would help us and enable us, and help us with cheerful hearts to do those things which You've called us to do. Father, we ask that You would continue to work in and through us as individuals and as a congregation, that we would bring the message of Jesus Christ, of the forgiveness that You had offered through Him to our friends, our neighbors, our families, our workplaces, our schools, wherever we may go. That people would see Your love through our actions, through our forgiveness. We ask, Father, that You would continue to work through in and through us, and that in the end, we would be able to say that we are just unworthy servants, saved by the grace of God through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Is your head